The name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. A well-known 20th century theologian by the name of Karl Barth said something to the effect of, "Take your Bible in one hand, take your newspaper in the other, and read both. But interpret your newspapers from your Bible." This quote came to me as I was talking with a friend this week about how I was struggling to preach this Sunday. This week in the news, we've seen plenty about Rachel Dozal, a story about a woman as white as I am, identifying as a black woman. That then spun into a comparison between Rachel Dozal and Caitlyn Jenner, which brings up a whole other set of opinions. And then we had the senseless hate crime, the shootings at Emmanuel AME on Wednesday evening. And oh, did I mention? We have two baptisms today, festive. And so as I was talking about this, my friend who I was saying, "Guy, like, how do you fit it all?" And they said to me, "Well, why do you even have to bring all that up? What does all this news have to do with the gospel?" And I thought about Barth and holding your newspaper and your Bible, and my thought was it has a lot to do. As Christians, we are called to interpret the world around us, not just as our favorite journalist decides to report, or as social media churns out quips and blogs and blogs and quips and opinions on any issue. But as Christians, we are to look at the world around us. We are to look at our part in the world around us. And we are to look at it through the words of the Bible, and perhaps even more importantly, to look at our world through the Word. The word of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's gospel reading from Mark and the second letter to the Corinthians have much to say about how we live our lives as Christians and what it means not to be faithful, but to own and to live out our faith. Starting with our gospel reading, it's safe to say that many a sermon has been preached on this story, especially because it's one of the few found in all four Gospels. And sermons have been preached about the boat and the storm and the calm and Jesus' words, yet I believe the most important message for us today, given this week of news, given our country's continued struggle with racism and every other ism out there, the message that Jesus has for us today is that as much as we would like to stay comfortable right where we are, our job today as Christians is to get into the boat and to head to the other side. You see, throughout the Gospel of Mark, Jesus is always on the move. Today, he is on the move, spreading his healing and his teaching and his love. We see him sailing to the Gerasene shore where he will heal a demoniac. Remember, in the 2,000 pigs go running into the water. And then he's going to sail back and he'll do some more healing. And then he's going to go to his hometown and do more. And then he goes to Jerusalem. Jesus does not remain in one place. He does not stay in Bethlehem because, well, that's where his family is and that is what is safe, because his message is too big. The message that Jesus has for us today is we are not to remain where we are comfortable. Instead, we are to begin to move to the other side. But we can't get to the other side alone. We get to the other side with the help of the other faithful. And we get to the other side with the help of Jesus, who challenges us not to just to have faith, but to live our faith in word and action. And we live out our faith when we move toward the other side, when we are never satisfied to be in one mindset, in one way of knowing, in one way of being. Being faithful challenges us to never be righteously indignant, but to continue our faith journey through growth, through challenging ourselves and how we can follow the path of Jesus in a world that defines us by what we look like and what we have, not by what we say and what we do. Now, I've said, and I'll say it again, getting to the other side is not to be done alone. One of those signs, do not attempt this by yourself. Don't you realize the disciples were all in the boat together? And not only were they in the boat together, but if you read it, there were other boats alongside with them. None of them was on a faith journey in isolation. That's why you can't be spiritual and not religious, because all spirituality connects you to everyone else. They were not alone. And as we are not alone, as we gather here today to not be alone, it made me think of one of the better blog posts I read this week, because yes, I do follow social media. And the blog that I read this week talked about practice. Practice. We get to the other side where there is healing, where justice and love reign, when we practice our Christianity. And what does that look like? That looks like us being here today. That's bringing your children to church so that they learn. That is supporting one another in our highs and lows. You see, today we baptized two children, and their parents, and their godparents, in the entire parish of St. Cross, and in fact, all of Christendom promises to help them grow and live a faithful life. We promise to help them practice the Christian life through sacraments, fellowship, prayer, grace, forgiveness, reconciliation, and most importantly, love. But the truth of the matter is that from the moment we are first baptized, we are all called to practice. Our life is practicing to live out the faith that we profess. And dear, if you're like me, sometimes it feels like going to the gym and I think, when don't I have to do this anymore? When is it enough? But as Christians, we continue to practice. We don't rest until there is justice, until there is no homelessness, there's no racism, there's no poverty, there's no scraping by. We don't rest until we agree to use social media not as a platform for ridicule and sarcasm, but as a place to listen to one another, to learn, and to grow community. We don't rest until our outreach programs such as Laundry Love and Las Familias and Family Promise are no longer needed, because every person can be self-sufficient and fed through their work. And some of you may say, well, that's never going to happen, and that's kind of Pollyanna, and you may be right. But is that the path of Jesus as laid out in our gospel in the Word? You're absolutely right. So what might getting to the other side look like? When might we know that we have begun to really engage our faith? And I turn to the family members of those killed in Charleston, because this week they are my shining example of what it looks like to see the other side. They came to the hearing of the professed murderer of their family members, and in spite of their grief, in their anger, in their madness, they looked at that man and spoke words of mercy and forgiveness. The New York Times put it best for me. It was as if the Bible study had never ended. As one after another, victims' family members offered lessons in forgiveness, testaments to a faith that is not compromised by violence or grief. I pray that my own practice will be strong that day. I pray that your practice will be strong that day, and that each of us will get moving towards that other side through our practice. Now, getting there, once we get in that boat, just like we read in the gospel, there will be storms that rock our world, that make us scared. And there will be doldrums of the dead calm when we can't seem to move forward or backward. And yet, in the middle of that, Jesus is with us. And Jesus' presence and ministry compels us to continue the journey away from where we are, away from our comfort zones, into the challenging moments of discussing race and gender and class and privilege and homelessness. Now, some may say, I come here Sunday morning to escape the newspaper, to escape all that stuff, to just have my quiet time with God. And yet, as Bart said, we can't have one without the other. We cannot ignore the world around us. We cannot ignore that which angers us. We cannot ignore that which makes us uncomfortable. Because as Paul said in his second letter to the Corinthians today, we are called to a faith in which there will be afflictions and hardships and calamities and beatings and imprisonment. But through purity and knowledge, patience, kindness, holiness of spirit, genuine love, truthful speech, and the power of God, through our faith, we will get to the other side of that which stops us from being faithful Christians. With God's presence and with God's grace, along with the hard work of our continued practice, we too can be the face of love and not hate. We can participate in the lament rather than contribute to the condemnation. But we can only do this if we dare to move away from the comfort zone and get into the boat. My prayer for all of us as we move towards the font today, to the baptismal waters that connects each and every one of us, is that you and I will practice our faith with all of our heart and with all of our soul and with all of our mind. And as we practice, we teach our children to practice alongside of us. And that we encourage one another in our practice. And remind one another when we are challenged of the faith-filled importance of getting to the other side, where God's mercy and love and justice reign. Amen.